This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show. Thank you for downloading from iTunes or natedarlingshow.com. With me as always, Jason Casey. Hello, Jason.
Hello, hello.
Back again is original host of the show, Mel Gelbart. Hello, Mel.
Hi.
Thank God you haven't hyphenated your name. That's a pain in the ass to remember.
What?
No, Larry was here last week. And
oh, he took Adam's name? They hyphenated?
They hyphenated. It's Larry Glovermead.
Oh. And I can't take Paul's name. It's German. My family wouldn't approve.
Well, it's fair. Very fair. Coming up on the show today, we'll talk about the Butt Lady of Auburn.
Yay.
Ooh, I love her.
Mm-hmm. Plus, what happens when you eat your kid's pot brownies? And we have a lady, I'm going to use the term loosely, who ended up biting a police lady.
Oh, ooh. My.
Mike Tyson style.
Nice.
All those deets coming up, but first, welcome back, Mel.
Hey, thanks. It's like I feel like I'm on a run. I feel like I was just here.
I know, and then we won't see you again for 6-8 months or something like
that. Yeah, I'll see you in a year or two.
Show 500.
That's I'll see you at your soon. Wedding.
Yes, it's true.
Ooh.
If you come. We're getting the invitations done this evening. As we're recording this,
oh.
My betrothed will be ordering the invites.
Ooh.
So those will be coming. So order them now, get them in a week, and people will be getting them in the mail. If you've been invited, you'll get an invitation around the first part of September.
You're not going crazy, are you? I hate when people spend a fortune on things like that, because it's like a one-time thing and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Let me just put it to you this way. My betrothed has lots of family members, and they're coming. So you can go ahead and do that, and I'm sure they will all be very generous, and it will all work itself out fine.
Yay.
I'm not going to worry about it. I am not going to
spend
a moment worrying about it.
Nope.
Because it's, you know, while I've done this before, she has not, and this is going to be her one and only wedding until she kills me, and so I want her to have a wonderfully happy day and a bunch of memories that that she doesn't look back upon with resentment or anger.
That's probably pretty important right
that's
there.
The goal. No resentment or anger when
you're
looking
smart,
back.
You're smart, smart man.
Well, you know, after you get it wrong a couple of times, am I really that smart, or did I finally just get it figured out? Yeah, whatever. Jason, when you get to your third marriage, you'll be gold.
Oh man, that's not gonna happen.
I haven't even gotten to one. It's so unfair.
Well, he has enough for both of us, you know.
True.
How dare you?
I'll be lucky if I get a ring before I die.
Maybe a mood ring.
I'll get you a ring. No.
He's promised me a skull ring with diamonds. We are kind of a rock and roll family.
That's classy.
Yeah,
that's very classy. So, Jason, you had the baby shower this past Saturday.
I did.
And sadly, I woke up with a little bit of sniffles and coughs, which I know it sounds like a John Mellencamp album, but I did not want to risk getting specifically your lovely wife sick with any sort of weird virus, being that she's 7 months pregnant. So we stayed home. We stayed away from you.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
You know, I didn't go because I hate you.
I figured that much, Mel.
So how was the shower? How was it?
The shower was the shower.
So it was that good?
No. It was great. You know, I mean, it's like anything that you prepare and work hard at, you know, making sure everything lines up and works out correctly. You do that so you can hopefully enjoy the time. But really, most of the time, especially when you're the host, you're hosting, which isn't, you know, relaxing, to say the least. So,
right.
So, but it was great. I mean, we had a lot of people show up, you know, and it was neat to see, like, we had 24 people at our house, which is, I mean, and it wasn't too crazy crowded. Like, if we had a party and it wasn't 95 degrees outside, we could definitely hold like 40 people at the house, like, right. like rotating between outside and inside. And so it was neat to get that idea of the house and that it we can host something there. And, you know, we got to see a lot of family. Yeah, my dad and my stepmom flew up from San Diego, which was very, Aww. Very
that was
unexpected.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
So he's out of the hospital?
Yeah. Yeah, he's out of the hospital.
Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah,
we talked about that a few weeks mm-hmm. ago.
Yeah, he's doing better. He's doing way, way better now.
Awesome. That's awesome. Mel, how was your week?
My weekend was very busy. I did four shows. I'm too old to do four shows. Mm-hmm. I did. In one of the shows, I got lathered in peanut butter and someone licked it off. So that was fun.
Wait, what?
Yeah. We one of the shows we do is a show that combines, as you know, burlesque and improv. So mm-hmm. the burlesque dancers do their very sexy burlesque acts. And then we use whatever props they leave on stage. And one of the acts involved peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
So the improv scene involved a salon where I was getting an exfoliating mask made of peanut butter.
And they actually smeared peanut butter on you.
Oh, and then they actually licked it off.
Here's where I'm having a little disconnect, because in my knowledge and training, which granted much more limited, improv is a world of imagination and
this show
wonder.
This show is particularly different in that the whole purpose or the bit of the show is that whatever they leave on the stage is used kind of like when you see like short form, like Whose Line Is It Anyway? And they sure. do things with props. It's similar to that. So we're inspired by what they leave on the stage and we do improv scenes, but we use their props as inspiration. So if they take off a cape, you may see, you know, a witch or whatever flying item.
Sure.
Or, you know, whatever. In one of the bits, they had a giant boa.
Mm-hmm.
with eyeballs on the ends of the boa, and it became Snuffleupagus in a scene. So yes, we use the stuff, but we do improv, but there are props involved.
Gotcha.
Whatever
gotcha.
Comes off their sexy, sweaty bodies goes on to ours.
Oh.
And the audience loves food.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we end up eating a lot
now,
of stuff.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I saw someone, and I'm mixing up my two bearded gentlemen who wrote it on Facebook. It's one of two guys. It's either Corky or Chris, and I forget which one right now, so I apologize. One of them said that they heard a compliment given to you on Friday night that was the nicest thing they've ever heard anybody say. What was the compliment you got?
It was bearded gentleman Corky.
That's what I thought.
And we were standing outside of the club after that show, and two very adorable young ladies came up, and they were very awkward and embarrassed, and they said that they came to the show because I was their favorite, and so they came every month just to see me and wanted to know if they could get hugs, and that they came specially for me. They even said that they, I believe they said basically that they'd picked out their outfits because they thought I might like them.
Oh, wow. How old are these girls?
Legal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I meant, you know, because...
20s?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice. They were probably in their 20s. They were just adorable, and it was very flattering.
The fan club.
I know. It was very flattering.
Did that make the four shows worth it?
Yeah, it did.
That's very cool. That is very cool.
Especially after getting... Because, you know, I'm known for not liking to do physical kind of stuff like that. I don't like stuff on me. I don't like my hair messed up on stage. I get kind of uptight. I'm tightly wound.
I'm aware, yeah.
Yes, we'll get to that later.
Don't touch
too.
Mel.
Don't touch me. I don't like to touch. I'm not super huggy, whatever. And so, and it's always Chris, the other bearded gentleman mm-hmm. that does this to me. And Chris slathered me.
With the peanut butter.
With the peanut butter.
Oh, man.
And you could tell, too, he knew, like, we're on stage. She can't do anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
She can't leave. So he went big. And
oh,
he
sure.
smeared my neck and my face and my forehead. And he touched my head and my hair. And I was all ill. And as soon as I got off stage, my boss, Brian, comes running up to me. And he's like, how mad are you? I was like, it's fine. But like, Chris is still a little scared.
He should be. Yeah, Brian was just trying to prevent you from cutting him, bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There have been shows where I've lost fish. There was a show, probably Jason doesn't even remember this, years ago Jason and I were on stage together, and at the time I was growing my hair out, and it was a little unmanageable because it was at a weird length, and I had it pulled back in a clip, and we did a scene, and Jason grabbed me and knocked the clip out of my hair, and my hair went all Pippi Longstocking. And as soon as the scene was cut, I went straight backstage, and I was so mad, and I was like, if I can't get my hair back up right, I'm not going back out there. But I did. But it was Jason's fault.
I don't even remember that.
You wouldn't, but I did.
I'm sorry.
You scarred her.
Yeah.
That was old Jason.
Yeah. He's much more careful now.
So on Sunday, I went out to Russian River Brewing to meet up with one of my friends, because he's like, hey, I'm thinking about doing Russian River on Sunday. He drove up from San Luis Obispo, which is normally a four-hour drive, but with traffic was 5 hours.
Horrible.
So he drove up. I drove over from here, and we met up at Russian River, which was cool because there's two polka stops right there. And
come on.
And fantastic beer, of course. I'm enjoying a bottle of Pliny the Elder as we're doing the show here. but the drive over to Russian River is always interesting because you run the gamut between driving through the beautiful countryside of Sonoma or Napa and being stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just this weird juxtaposition. And it was going out on Interstate 80, and I instantly knew what had happened because I had the Waze app on. And it said, normally it says vehicle stopped on shoulder ahead, and that just means there's somebody off to the side of the road. Go ahead and ignore it. This time it said vehicle stopped on road ahead. And I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be something. So, of course, come to a grinding stop. And middle of nowhere, there's fields on either side. And it says time and traffic, 10 minutes. And I'm like, well, that's not too bad. So I'm like rolling along and I'm thinking vehicle on road. Hope there wasn't a super bad accident, whatever like that. So we get up to the place and I see there's a fire truck. There's an ambulance. And I believe two police cars and one car that had been in didn't look like a very bad accident. And here's when traffic started to go faster again. 20 feet past that car. Because that's what people do. They slow down to 10 miles an hour and go, ooh, an accident.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, it's behind me. And now I can go. And I'm like, I hate everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Rubberneckers.
Yeah, that's stop that. Everybody stop that. I encourage you to lay on your horn when you see people do that.
Yeah, I always just try to just keep going. Just keep going. Don't look. There's nothing to see. And it's none of your business.
Well, here's the thing. When everybody is slowed down to 10 miles an hour, you've got plenty of time to look and see.
Mm-hmm.
But literally everybody, four lanes of traffic did this. Just four lanes of traffic, just 10 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, 10 miles an hour, 50, 60, 70. Okay, here we go. Yay.
And it's probably only one or two people that are really causing the huge slowdown.
Nah, I don't know. It's a lot of people.
When I was a kid, we went by one of those accidents and I saw a dead body under a sheet. And I'm still traumatized.
Oh, even though you were a cop?
I was a child.
No, I understand that, but you became a cop later.
Yes, but my child brain is still in that moment.
You probably should talk to a psychologist about that, Mel.
I know. I didn't see a lot of dead bodies as a police officer. I saw some.
Sure.
But not a ton.
Yeah. I saw a dead body as a promotions producer at a TV station.
Nice.
Because we were doing a public service announcement about drowning. And one of the things we're doing is they were bringing us to, we went to the morgue and we walked in and they did not warn me about this. And I wasn't freaked out. I've shot in operating rooms. I've seen people opened up. Walk into the morgue in Sacramento and you walk in and I turn to my left and I see a lady completely, her chest is completely opened up CSI style.
Oh yeah.
If you've ever seen the show CSI, that is dead on to what it looked like. And it turns out she is somebody, and we didn't obviously use her, but she is somebody who had been found floating in the river.
Oh, that does a mess.
Yeah, it was a bad time. But there was no warning of that. It was just walk in, look over. Oh, there's a dead body wide open.
Did you put that stuff under your nose so you didn't have to smell the bloated dead body? Like,
No.
The moor doesn't smell that bad.
No.
It didn't when I was there.
No. Hmm. So then we went in and we're shooting. We decided we're going to have some people on the trays.
Gross.
Just their feet slid out a little bit. And the guy who was shooting with me is in there, and he's meticulous about organizing where everything goes. And they had pulled out a few people, you know, so you could see just from like the knees down. So you could see behind the public information officer that we were in a morgue. And he's in there, and because the toe tag wasn't in the right spot, he's over there with the dead bodies, just gently taking the toe tag and moving it to the side toward the camera.
Good Lord.
And I'm like, dude, really? It's a toe tag 10 feet behind yourself. No one's going to see that. What are you doing?
It's a perfect shot, man.
What are you doing?
You know, when I was in high school, we dissected cadavers.
Ooh.
I went to a kind of fancy high school.
Apparently you did. The kind where they killed hobos.
Everyone gets their own hobo.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it's just good for the economy.
It's true. Speaking of good for the economy, Donald Trump. I don't know if he's good for the economy or not. But he's taken the attacks on the Morning Joe people to a whole new level.
He doesn't attack people. He said so.
Sure. He tweeted, tried watching the low-rated Morning Joe this morning. Unwatchable. Mika is off the wall and a neurotic and not very bright mess.
And yet he knows this because he watched it?
Mm-hmm. Someday when things calm down, I'll tell the real story of Morning Joe and his very insecure longtime girlfriend. Two clowns.
What story? What does he know? I hate him so much.
I don't know. So Joe Scarborough then tweets, Hillary Clinton is targeting key swing states today while Trump starts his day obsessed with cable news hosts while channeling Gawker.
Seriously.
Sad. Then, neurotic and not very bright, look in the mirror. And finally, thanks for watching Morning Joe is enjoying its best ratings ever, thanks to obsessed fans like you.
Yeah, he's getting them good publicity.
Yeah. Are we all being punked? We're all being punked, aren't we?
When this all started, I turned to Paul and said, you know, he was friends with the Clintons. Maybe this is all a big joke on us, and they've worked this out together.
Well, here's the problem.
He's going to make a ton of money either way.
Right, but here is the problem. The problem is there's a lot of people who are going to vote for him because they're not in on the joke.
I know.
they're not in on the joke. So it's like,
maybe like the day before he's just going to be like, I quit.
This could end badly.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, a 19-year-old woman bit off a female cop's ear following a brawl outside a Massachusetts bar. Yeah, that's her right there, guys. Take a look at her. Her name is Emma Wiley. She's a very...
She looks wily.
She's a very buxom 19-year-old, and she's a college student. She allegedly bit off the ear of a female cop who was trying to get her into a police cruiser following a brawl early Sunday morning at a Massachusetts bar. Now, according to Salem Police Department, what a witch, officers responding to a 911 call about a fight in progress found Wiley tangled with another woman as a crowd of more than 100 people milled about. Girl, fight. Girl, fight. Girl, fight.
I'm fascinated. Is the picture, like, was it, like, wear your boyfriend's shirt and nothing else day? Because it looks like they're all wearing that in this picture.
Yeah, it was probably a sorority shot. I guarantee that was pulled from her Facebook page.
Nice.
While Wiley, cops noted, had a fistful of other combatants' hair and was trying to throw her foe to the ground. She was also screaming uncontrollably. Now, after officers separated the pair and began escorting Wiley to a squad car, the teenager, who, by the way, studies criminal justice at Salem State University, yelled, I'll effing kill you all. Don't effing touch me.
She killed her ear.
As police struggled to get Wiley inside the cruiser, she lunged at the face of Officer Jessica Rondolini, a rookie cop who's been on the job barely a month. I'm guessing a veteran cop would know better.
what? To keep their ears out of the way?
That's right. Pin those back. Wiley, the cop's charge, grabbed hold of the officer's right ear in her teeth and refused to yet let go. The officer yelled, she has my ear.
I'm sorry.
She released her bite when the cop, who's 27, gouged her in the eye. said she bit my ear off. She then told fellow officers, and the cop's right ear was bleeding and had a jagged chunk missing from the top of it.
Oh, I didn't knock her out.
Yeah, she was rushed to a local hospital. Wiley threatened to have, and I quote, every one of us cops killed. Officers subsequently found a piece of the ear in the rear compartment of the car used to transport Wiley to the Salem police station.
So she spit it out?
Yeah. Well, oh, she going to do swallow it? An officer quickly put the piece in a plastic bag and brought it to the hospital. However, due to the risk of infection in the nature of the ear, it has been disfigured and they were not able to reattach it.
That's a serious offense.
Yeah, well, I guess that officer is going to go with long hair from now on. Either that or she's going to have to get a bunch of piercings to sort of cover that up.
Right.
Well, they can do plastic surgery on that.
Do you ever deal with a drunken, disorderly female?
Very often. Oh, yes.
You are they the worst?
Yes, because they're squirrely and they're squirmy and they don't listen and, yeah.
Women don't listen?
I know.
It's crazy talk.
One of my first arrests was a woman who was very drunk and belligerent and had both urinated and vomited on herself. And I couldn't figure out like how to get her to jail because I didn't want to put her in my car.
Right.
So in the back of our cruisers, we have these like those plastic hazmat bodysuits.
Oh, you put her in a bodysuit?
So I forced her into this bodysuit and then I walked her to jail. I was not going to get in my car.
I think I've heard that story before. Funny every time.
Oh, yeah. She vomited down the front of it and just filled that thing up, too. By the time we got to jail, it was just chock full.
And you're like, here you go.
Yep. I was like, I'll do the paperwork. See you guys later. Hose her down.
Ew. Meanwhile, in Nebraska, an Omaha dad found some pot brownies and ate four of them.
Ooh, four.
Four.
Whoa.
Yeah, he mistakenly ate marijuana brownies. Did not enjoy the experience, though. Omaha police officers were called to a house about 9:45 p.m. to investigate an accidental overdose, where they learned that 53-year-old man had been unloading groceries and found some brownies in the backseat of the car that his adult children had used earlier in the day. The man ate four of the brownies. Then his wife told police that she and her husband were watching TV. He noted he was getting bad anxiety. She tried to call their children to ask them what was in the brownies, but could not reach them. She told the officer she'd rather not provide her children's names because she thought they could get in trouble. An Omaha police spokesman said the investigation into the matter is concluded, so apparently they're okay. While police were at the house, one of the couple's children arrived and told the officers the brownies belonged to his siblings.
Of course.
Not my brownie. He told them that he was pretty sure it was marijuana in them. Paramedics were, of course, called to the scene. They checked the man, found his vital signs to be normal, but they noted he was displaying some odd behavior, including crawling around on the floor and randomly using profanities and calling the family cat a bitch.
Wow.
Wow.
That's awesome.
He told paramedics he felt like he's tripping and declined to be taken to the hospital. They helped him to his bedroom, where he got into bed. The man and his wife were told to call 911 again if the situation worsened.
What is the standard pot brownie dosage? Anyone?
It depends on how medicated the butter is that they use to make it. Like, if it's really strong butter, like, on an average, I would say that for a beginner, maybe half a brownie, depending, like, if it's normal, if it's average. But it's really hard to say because everybody makes their butter different when it's, that's the problem with homemade edibles like that.
So four either way is probably a lot.
Four is gonna be, yeah, like, I mean, that's definitely that, yeah. If they make it the way that, if you look up on Google on how to make pot brownies, if you follow the directions where you make your butter,
yeah, Google it at work.
that's probably way too much. Wow. For a beginner, especially.
Yeah,
it doesn't know. But why did they call the cops? You know what I mean? Like, why call the cops about that? Like, why do you not call, like, a doctor or, you know, somebody that can really help you and let you know?
That's so logical.
You know, like, why? It just upsets me that, like, it's like, oh, I'm going to call the, I mean, there was no reason to call the cops. Well, like, why involve the cops in a situation that they don't need to be in?
Well, clearly, other than their kids, they don't know any stoners. So.
But I mean, like, I think
that's a first reflex in many people. Yeah. When in doubt, call the police. Well, get so many dumb calls.
Yeah, they call 911. And it's 911, can I help you? And it's like, my husband's behaving erratically.
Well, but yeah, but
so immediately they're going to go, oh, domestic violence, and right. They're going to send the police.
That's, not an ambulance.
Yeah, that'll come later.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right. That was wrong. All right, first up in Cooler Tool, free publicity. Free publicity. Jason.
Oh, well, I mean, regardless of who it's for, I mean, free publicity is free publicity. You're going to take it, you know? It's cool. It's absolutely cool.
Mel?
Yeah, I mean, I hate that it sometimes works for people that I hate. Like, Trump gets so much free publicity. But, yeah, any publicity is good publicity. At least your name's getting out there, so, yeah.
Free publicity is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Although, people need to settle down with Twitter. It's not that impressive.
Oh, my gosh.
Settle down. It's 140 characters. I'm next in Cooler Tool. Biting. Biting Mel.
you set me up. It depends who you're biting, if they want to be bitten, how hard you're biting. Me, I like a little biting, a nibble. But, you know, you shouldn't break skin, and you certainly shouldn't take any body parts away with you. It's just rude. It's bad form. So biting is in general, not cool, but in the bedroom, cool.
Jason?
I mean, I'm tracking with what Mel's saying there. I mean, it's definitely cool at times, but not cool if you take any of the other person with you. So... I'm going to say not cool in this situation.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of biting.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm a little squeamish about the biting. Sorry. Mm. So not cool.
Maybe you just haven't been bit the right way.
Is that an offer?
I'll watch.
An offer.
Yeah.
And finally in Cooler Tool, not sharing. Not sharing, Jason.
Not sharing. It's not cool, man. You gotta share. Yeah, sharing is caring, and that's the way that it always will be. So,
Mel?
Technically, this was helping oneself uninvitedly. He was not shared with because they didn't offer. So, I'm gonna say this was tool sharing because he was rude for taking what wasn't his, and he got his just dessert.
Yeah, it's totally tool. First of all, why are you eating four brownies?
There's a lot of brownies.
Brownies are delicious.
Four damn brownies. I get one, sure. Two, all right.
And you don't even know whose they are.
Yeah, I found some brownies in the back
You're
seat of the car.
You're mowing on a stranger's brownies.
Are you kidding me? You found them in the back. I'm not eating anything I found in the back seat of the car if I didn't put it there.
Yeah, that's
a
tool
move.
Oh, no,
I am. I'll snake a brownie any day.
How long has it been there? What's going on? No.
It's probably like 95 degrees out, so it's probably going to be hot and
ooh,
warm.
Melted brownies. I'm down.
All right, that's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Hey, by the way, thanks to anybody who's been doing their Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. It's the easy way to support the show because it does not cost you anything extra, and it helps... put a little jingle jangle in the pocket so we can keep giving you three free shows every single week. So that's the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. So thanks for doing that, everybody. All right, so this came to my attention last week. It was on the news here in Sacramento. There is a lady known as the Butt Lady of Auburn. That's Auburn, California. And one of my colleagues at Fox 40 was dispatched out to do the story.
Taking it upon herself to clean up the streets of her town one cigarette butt at a time.
Sally Dolly, who proudly calls herself the Butt Lady of Auburn, reached a major milestone this week after nearly 2 years of picking up discarded cigarettes.
Fox 40 Sarah Zendenam has her story.
The tally counter.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The tongs.
24.
And the broom.
She's got buffet tongs that she's picking up cigarettes with, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
Out of the gutters.
You've seen Sally Dolly.
Well, I'm the Butt Lady of Auburn.
For nearly 2 years, Sally's...
She has cowboy boot earrings, Mel.
I love Auburn.
Of course she does. She lives in Auburn.
I've been here for quite a while, and I just like seeing it clean.
After noticing all the cigarette butts around the streets of Auburn, Sally grabbed a dustpan and got to work.
How difficult is it to throw it into an ashtray?
She spends hours each day picking up after people. She counts as she goes.
55. Come on, guys, stay in there.
After 22 months of hard work, she reached a milestone this week. The self-proclaimed Butt Lady of Auburn says she's collected and thrown away 500,000 cigarette butts.
If I left my house without my tools, I'd turn around, go back to my house and get my tools so I could pick them up. So I don't know how I'm going to quit.
She's dedicated and doesn't plan on stopping anytime soon.
There's one here.
In just 1 hour, Sally picked up 298 cigarette butts in this small area in Old Town Auburn. With all the walking, Sally says she's lost 30 pounds and has gone through multiple pairs of shoes. The Auburn Running Company gives Sally free sneakers to help her keep up with her community project.
Nice.
She's one of the characters around town, and she is doing a good service.
Sally says she's praised by Auburn residents for what she does.
He stopped and he said, "Thank you for what you're doing, and you're my hero."
She says she doesn't do it for the recognition, but to spread this message.
Butt Lady of Auburn says, "Don't throw the butts."
In Auburn, Sarah Zendenom.
Butt Lady of Auburn says, "Don't throw the butts."
Does she only clean up butts and leaves all the other trash?
She primarily cleans up butts. she's got the dustpan and the little broom. And as I mentioned, the tongs that you would find at a casino buffet.
I love that she counts them.
She's got a notebook where she's got a little clicker in her hand where she's counting them. And then she notes them in a notebook. And she...
That's some OCD.
She has 500,000 cigarette butts that she's picked up. So apparently people cannot control themselves in Auburn.
And eventually we're going to see her in, like, Guinness for, like, the most cigarette butts, because she saves them, I'm sure. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. She's got barrels full of them.
Did you say 500,000?
500,000. She's picked up and thrown away over 500,000 cigarette butts.
Bless her.
Since October of 2014. Less than 2 years.
So that's, I mean...
And Auburn's not a huge town. Mm-mm. Apparently, it's a big smoking town.
if each cigarette costs about 50 cents, I mean, that's $250,000. That's ridiculous, right? That people have just spent on smoking.
Good for her. Like, when we go and walk the dog, sometimes I'm like, I should bring a trash bag and pick up garbage. And I was like, what?
What are you doing?
I want to be an upstanding citizen like the butt lady.
The butt lady of Auburn. Yeah, of course. Mel, there was a request by Larry last week.
Oh.
Do you think you might be able to grace us with the Small Town News song?
I'm not sure I remember what I used to do.
Well, just go with it and see what we...
Well, because you never had a theme song, so, and I felt like it needed something.
That's true. It's true. We have something now, but we want to go old school.
I used to do a... I can't believe you're making me do this. It's so awkward.
Wait. This is amazing.
It's not. It's not amazing. It was so stupid. I wanted Nate to do something, so as a filler I would do Small Town News, everybody loves that Small Town News. And there it is.
That's it. Yeah, thank you, Larry. That's
you're welcome, Larry. I love
Larry,
you.
Larry remembers everything. Well, this is an ongoing story in the small town of Westbrook, Maine. This goes back to June 30th, where the police department, we talked about this before, insists that it's not joking about reports of a large snake seen eating a suspected beaver on a riverbank. And, you know, they made a Facebook post about spotting a large snake at about 3:30 a.m. on a Wednesday, eating a large mammal, possibly a beaver.
Or a small child.
So funny.
Not joking, is what they said. Not joking about eating a beaver. And you're like, okay, fine, whatever. Well, we have an update.
Tonight, could a snake skin discovered today be from Wessie the Snake?
Dun, dun,
Westbrook
dun.
Police sending us this picture of what somebody found on the banks of the Presumpscot River this afternoon. Police have been searching for the reported 10-foot snake dubbed Wessie since June. Police Chief Janine Roberts says the skin was discovered near the Carrion boat launch in the same area as all the other sightings the past couple weeks. Police are asking you to be safe in that area and stay away from wildlife.
Stay away from wildlife, by the way.
Wessie.
Stay away from Wessie and all the wildlife, because there's a large snake on the loose and
I love it.
In southern Maine.
I love it.
Yeah, but only has a few more months. He'll live for another couple months and get nice and fat.
And then it's going to slither under somebody's house.
Yeah, right?
Right around
lucky.
Their pipes.
Yep. Where it's going to stay nice and warm. So, anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. Only one edit this time. Mel didn't even realize.
What? Did I do something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
You dropped an S, Mom.
Dang it. I was trying so hard. I was having too much fun to pay attention. It's your fault.
I know. That's what we like to do. Thank you for joining us, Mel. Thank you, Jason. Kareem, feel better. Don't leave your toilet. I'll just leave it at that. And we'll leave you with a little Whitesnake on the Nate Darling Show. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.